Welcome back, Jay Binkley, JT Noah. Thanks to Kimmy Checks from NFL Network joining me just a minute ago. Don't forget Sports Talk on the Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com to get your deal, and you can stream everything. And joining us now, Josh Briscoe. You can hear him on the Chiefs Network. Talking about the game next Friday, the first regular season game for Josh Briscoe and the Chiefs Network when he has pregame, halftime, and post for you then. Josh, good afternoon.
Hey, Bink. Happy to be talking to you here. Oh, I'm hearing myself a little bit right now.
Are you hearing yourself?
I usually enjoy that.
It's that mix-minus thing, I think,
like,
JT.
It is. I like the sound of my own voice, generally speaking.
The mouth of the Midwest.
Yes, but I cannot wait to get going for regular season game. That third preseason game was genuinely fun. You know, we covered two preseason games almost like practices, getting to these guys down the depth chart. There you go. I'm all clear now.
You better now.
And all good. And week three there was so much fun just to have Patrick Mahomes on the football field and be talking about some of the starters. So Friday, I would say Friday can't get here soon enough. I'll take the time to prep for it, but I'm excited for Friday to get here, truly.
No, it is. And the one thing about it was a little bit different, wasn't it? Because, you know, the way things have gone, it was the third preseason game when they had four. It was always the third one. It was kind of the dress rehearsal, and the fourth one, you didn't do it. And typically now, the way things have gone, when you get to third preseason game, nobody plays. But because they had to play in Seattle and go to the West Coast again and play on turf and in the rain, it changed things up. They're at Arrowhead Stadium, let the starters play, and it kind of worked out. They did.
It really worked out great, because the one thing that you can't control, and the one thing that not even great coaching and great players can indicate, is if you're going to escape healthy or not. And obviously they suffered quite a few injuries in Seattle and then came out with an empty injury report at home against the Bears. So you got to see the starters get those reps. I was really, not that I had any like doubt simmering, but I was heartened by seeing the first team offense play as well as it did in that preseason finale, because it felt like a little bit of a preview what we're going to see a week from tonight in Brazil.
Yeah, I'm glad they get that out of the way. Get the team running, going, look so much more efficient than the rest of the preseason. That left a good taste in the mouth. Before we dive into things a little bit more with the Chiefs, Josh, first of all, the Micah Parsons deal, when it came out, can you imagine like if that was hanging over the Chiefs and they did that for a team that's drafted five of the last six draft, the Packers, in the 20s? It's not like they got premium first-round picks, so let's put that aside. But from a Chiefs perspective, they don't have to deal with Micah Parsons on Thanksgiving, right? You can sit there with the macaroni, the turkey, and everything else. You're not worried about Micah Parsons now if you're a Chiefs fan.
I think my dinner will probably taste a little better. I know Patrick Mahomes and Josh Simmons and Juwan Taylor's dinner that night will taste a lot better. Yeah, what a wild saga. I mean, I guess at this point it's on me if I'm ever like genuinely surprised by Jerry Jones doing something kind of befuddling, but that was not enough of a return for him to go out there and say, well, I wanted a new Herschel Walker.
We're just fine.
We're going to find some all pros with these first-round picks. Maybe even players as good as Micah Parsons. Unlikely. Or Michael Parson.
Michael.
Man, I don't know. The one thing you can lean back on is we got kind of somewhat close to that with Chris Jones. He was sitting up in the box in week one. And you know, I guess you could say in retrospect, I mean, Jones got a huge deal there. I don't know if he won or if the Chiefs won. I'm putting these in big air quotes. Everybody won because he got paid and he stayed a part of the defense that is built around him. If anything Chiefs related comes to mind on the Micah Parsons deal, it's how continually grateful I am that they got the Chris Jones deal done. It was expensive, but it was worth it. Because if they would have traded Chris Jones for two firsts and a 29-year-old D lineman on the eve of the season, things would not have gone as well following that.
Yeah, game. And the funny thing is, you know, he wasn't even a first-round pick. Creed Humphrey, not a first-round pick. Trey Smith, a sixth-round pick. And all these guys are now the highest paid at their positions in the NFL. That's what's drafting as well. It's a catch 22 because you draft these guys into the rounds, and guess what? You eventually got to pay them like a first rounder. Were you surprised at all with any of the roster? I know people were freaking out when Tonyan, Big Bob, was cut from the Chiefs because he had such a great preseason. They're going to need him. But tried to calm everybody down, saying, "Listen, they're going to massage this roster. Maybe someone goes to the IR. Maybe the suspension's coming. But Robert Tonyan will be back on this 53. Don't worry about it, Big Bob fans, because today, yesterday when the transactions went out, but he's officially back on the 53. Any big surprises to you?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that about Tanyan, because I am at this point, I'm a card-carrying member of the Big Bob Boosters Club. Like, I am ready for that. I'm glad he's back on the 53. That made a lot of sense. There's one thing, I don't want to overstate it. I'm not saying it this way just to be dramatic. I am genuinely shocked by one thing on the roster, and it's not Isopole, you know, getting cut and then poached by the Jets. I understand that, but like, I don't want to get too worked up about the practice squad as like a general rule for life, right? I'm shocked that Mike Pinnell is not on this roster anywhere to be found. And I don't know if you saw his Instagram stories posting quotes from the Joker from The Dark Knight talking about how it's not about the money, it's about sending a message. Mike Pinnell, I know he's an older D tackle, but the Chiefs traded for Derek Nnadi, a guy who Mike Pinnell outplayed and like outsnapped last year by the Chiefs on snap counts. They preferred Pinnell last year over Nnadi. They bring Pinnell back. They let Nnadi walk. They end up with that late round pick swap to bring Nnadi back. And Pinnell is just on the street right now. I do like a few of the defensive tackles on the practice squad. They found a couple younger kind of high day two draft picks that didn't work out at their first place. That's a good guys to have on your practice squad. But Mike Pinnell was the only run stuffing one tech defensive tackle on this roster of note, other than like Marlon Tuipulotu throughout training camp. Tuipulotu's on the practice squad. Pinnell was essentially their starter there last year and throughout this offseason. So, like, you know, Omar Norman-Lott, if he's healthy enough to be a part of this defense early on, he's still a rookie who was not a one tech by any means whatsoever in college, even as he's put on some weight since he got here. I like Derek Nnadi a lot, but he's the only guy that lines up to do that. Jerry Tillery plays a little more like Chris Jones, and Chris Jones, obviously, he holds his own in the run game, but that's not where he's made all that money. So I really am quite stunned that Mike Pinnell has ended up being a full-on cut out of this roster, and maybe there's a reunion down the stretch somewhere, but from the way that Pinnell's posted about it, it doesn't seem like he was in on that, that this is just like a long plan to bring him back down the line, and he's not even getting practice squad checks right now. So I would understand him being frustrated.
Which are very nice.
Right, yeah. I mean, as opposed to, hey man, stay home and stay healthy, maybe we'll call you around Thanksgiving or whatever. I'm really surprised Pinnell's not on this roster. They have four defensive tackles now, and only one of them is a real one-tech run stuffer, and it's Derek Nnadi, who they played like 20% of the snaps last year and then let walk in free agency. So I find that whole process very, very curious.
I'm with you on that, too, because I thought he brought some toughness and stability with the defensive line. But obviously, when they made the move to Derek, but also kind of Omar Norman-Lott. Like, he gained weight, the second-round pick for the Chiefs, and they tried him a little bit more in the interior in the one technique and areas like that. And to me, that's not what he does best. What he does best is in the three and moved around. So I don't know if they're going to keep that experiment or not, or if bringing back Nnadi kind of ended that experiment.
I'm wondering the same thing, and again, I understand, like, there's the idea of here's what you were in college, here's what we think you can be as a pro, but like you said, that's not what he was asked to do in college at all. He had a very light workload, and he was a lighter D lineman than he has been in a Chiefs uniform. So no, I have to imagine that one of those, maybe it's Marlon Tuipulotu, maybe one of those guys is like a week one game day call up, and maybe somebody else is a healthy scratch somewhere else down the defensive line or whatever. This unit did not, in my mind, didn't have enough beef at defensive tackle all off season. Like, it was the thing that I remember talking about and saying, well, you know, if there's anywhere they might want to add somebody, it'll be the defensive tackle spot. And then when they acquired Nnadi, I thought, oh, okay, well, you know, it's not moving the needle a ton, but they're basically going to have last year's group and then have Nnadi be the guy behind Pinnell. And then they just let Pinnell go. So again, it's not an earth-shattering thing, I suppose, but they really kind of, they treated him like he was going to be most likely getting the start. And he was, even his preseason snaps were earlier in the game with the starters, like he was going to be starting next to Chris Jones. And now he's nowhere to be found on the roster. So that, again, that's the thing that stands out to me as a legit surprise.
You know what they always say in life, Josh? Don't burn a bridge.
Yeah.
They definitely, you like the Chiefs, you don't want to say crap. Like, if you get cut by the Chiefs or not re-signed by them, you don't want to say anything. Because you know what? If you don't, you could end up back here. Just like Nnadi did. Just like Juju has. Now Clyde's back on the practice squad. And we've even seen Mecole Hardman once he went to the Jets and came back. So the lesson is, hey, if the Chiefs move on from you, don't say anything about them. Because they might bring you back for a job.
Yes, they love a reunion, and they trust the guys who know how things work in that building, and I think there's certainly a lot of value to that. I just sometimes also you wonder, like, well, what, you know, what's the upshot? I think having Clyde on the practice squad makes total sense, but you have Clyde and Carson Steele, and I'm wondering, well, would you like to? Was there a younger running back with a little more burst that you might want to have kind of getting acclimated into the offense? Because they've got six backs now, counting the four on the active roster. So, I don't know. You can tell this, and maybe people listening can tell this about both of us. I really do like the roster construction game of it all. I really do think that roster spots like 48 through 53 are very, very interesting. Ultimately, the Chiefs defense is going to be all about how impactful Chris Jones in the secondary is, more so than the run stuffing, you know, one tech D tackle. But it, also, I've done enough post game to know you have a day where you just get run over defensively and you go, well, this team needs some beef on the defensive line. And maybe that's the week they'll call Mike Pennell back.
Well, fourth in the NFL in points against last year, second the year before that. So definitely that got that. They do need to get to the pass rusher because they slipped all the way, or the quarterback, they slipped all the way to 18th in the NFL with that, Josh. Now, wide receivers are interesting to me too, because on paper, it looked great. Even Andy Reid at the end of mini camps, you know, talking about being able to have the same group back, essentially. The same core was back because he was still installing things, you know, midway through the season last year, because you did have new faces in the room. Then you had all the injuries to deal with. Well, things changed quickly with Rice getting suspended at the beginning of the season. I would rather have it later, to be honest with you. I'll be transparent about that. But they're going to do it at the beginning of the year, obviously the six games. So he's out. And then Jalen Royals battling that knee tendonitis, where he's been hurt, missed that last preseason game, so that's not a given. I mean, that could be an IR candidate as well. We don't know. Hollywood Brown is back, even though he's missed, you know, the last couple of weeks there in training camp and things like that in the preseason, but he has missed 24 games since 2022. I get it, 15 of them were last year, but there was 9 before that. So it looks good now, but things can change quickly. Yeah, they're going to rely on Tyquan a lot, and Juju, and Xavier's going to have to step up once again for this team. Should they have gone and got a veteran receiver, or are you good to go, or are they good to go with what they have?
I was a little bit curious when, like, the Keenan Allen just sort of, like, floating around there was happening.
Yes, that's who I wanted.
But we've probably been talking about Keenan Allen as a Chief off and on for the last 5 years something. We've seen his best football against the Chiefs, and so we fall in love with him. And, I'm with you there. I don't think there was another veteran receiver who I was that worked up about, and I wasn't that worked up about Keenan Allen either, to be fair, but he was the one.
I don't think anybody was but me.
Well, I think literally no one in the league was, or else he probably would have gotten a larger
but
deal.
But the thing about it, he had 770 yards with the rookie quarterback and Caleb Williams. That would have finished second on the Chiefs. It wasn't for the year. It was just for when Rice is suspended. It's a guy that plays in the slot. Rice spent half the time in the slot last year. That was all I wanted, man.
I think that was a good fit. So, again, I'm with you on that. The thing that you kind of highlight there, though, that is interesting, and this is something that I think we talked about this first or second week of the preseason, talking to Mitch Holthus after the game, where he said, look, like, Andy Reid's talked over and over about how good this wide receiver room is top to bottom, but now, as you're here past the 53, you know where the Rice suspension stands. Again, we'll see what happens with Jalen Royals. But now you're going, okay, well, for the first 6 weeks of the season, I will say, regardless of where Royals is at from an injury perspective, I'm not going to count on the rookie wide receiver in the first 6 weeks in an Andy Reid offense.
Nope.
Rashee Rice was in the back half of the season. Xavier Worthy really came on in the back half of the season. If Jalen Royals is going to do it, I'll look at the back half of the season. But Nico Remigio is a special teamer who hasn't gotten a lot of offensive run. Royals is a rookie and banged up. Jason Brownlee, I was sort of surprised they kept him on the 53. I think he's a very interesting build of wide receiver that they don't typically carry. I mean, I don't know if some DeAndre Hopkins leftovers are still in the playbook or what, but I like Brownlee. But ultimately now, you're looking at the first 6 weeks of the season, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Tyquan Thornton. That's not an absolute top shelf wide receiver group without Rashee Rice in it. With Rice as your number one, Worthy's a heck of a two, and Hollywood's a heck of a three, and Juju is a four, and Thornton is a five and a field stretcher. I really like that group. But now you're asking Worthy to do more in the intermediate in the meantime. You need Hollywood to be out there and healthy. And again, last year was a freak injury. I'm not holding that against him. It wasn't like he just, you know, We've had some other receivers we've talked about over the years with some soft tissue stuff. That was not what was happening with Hollywood last year. His collarbone broke inwards towards his organs. That's no good. But you are asking for a lot from Hollywood and Juju, a couple of veterans who've always kind of been managing injuries here and there. A lot from Xavier Worthy, who I think is really going to be keyed in on from opposing defenses. And I think maybe most importantly, you're back to a very similar place you were last year, where you look at Travis Kelce and you say, hey man, can we just run the offense around you again for a little while? And I think you hope that he could actually do that for 4 to 6 weeks, pretty significantly, and then Rice comes back and takes a few things back off Kelce's plate. But part of the appeal of the offense this season was that you can get the best of Travis Kelce by asking for a little less from him. And for the start of the season, I'm not sure they're going to be able to ask for less of anybody who's catching passes, because you're not sure about Royals, you are sure about Rice, and I don't think you can say you know exactly what Hollywood or Juju are going to get you. Best case scenario, the wide receiver room's totally fine without Rashee. The worst case scenario, you're asking for a lot from Tyquan Thornton and then maybe eventually Nico Armijo and Jason Brownlee.
Because I really like the connection with Mahomes and Rice at this point. Were you okay with the six games? Where did you fall in line? Because like half the people are like okay with it being later in the season. Others like just get it over with. Then there was, you know, Nate that came on, Nate Taylor, that's, well, maybe he could have fought it, but then, you know, you're kind of gambling with it. Where they give you more games after the September 30th if he would have gone to the appeal. Where'd you sit with it? Because I would have rather had him at the beginning, because I know any game in the NFL is going to be tough. But these first six games, when you're starting to get a hot start and you're playing the Chargers, a division rival on a neutral field, I get it out there, and then having to play the Ravens, playing the back-to-back world champions in week two, the Eagles. I just wanted it to be later, man. Not right in the beginning. Maybe I'm silly about that. Maybe it's good to get it over with, but one thing now.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll say kind of across the board, I'm pretty lukewarm on where it all landed. Not in a negative way. I'm just pretty neutral. Because if he is suspended after the arbitration date, even if it's immediate right out of that, which who knows, now you're missing the Bills game, and you're missing probably Thanksgiving, and now you're trying to figure out how to get back up to speed for the back half of the season. I understand if the Chiefs wanted to just get it done at the front end. I would hear the argument why. I hear your argument as to why you'd rather have it be more later in the year. I truly don't have a super strong feeling about that. The one thing it does do is it gives him a little bit more time to get fully back up to speed with the knee. Not that it's looked like a problem at all, but it's like, all right, well, here's 6 more weeks to just make sure you're fully, fully good there and up to football shape and all of that. And then ultimately, the length of the suspension, again, very similar for me. Think it's fine. I was pretty bordering on irate with the reports that the NFL was looking for 10 games. A 4-game spread isn't like a world-changing difference, but 10 felt crazy to me.
Agreed.
I think 4 to 6 was that range, really 3 to 6 after Jordan Addison got 3. If you said, yeah, it'll be 3 to 6 games for Rashee Rice, that seemed fair. I'd say, yeah, probably so. It was a bunch of really stupid decisions in a row. It kind of resets the personal conduct policy on some stuff for the NFL. No one was ever arguing he shouldn't be suspended. You can probably hear it in my voice. I think 6 is fine. I think 4 would have been fine and obviously better for the Chiefs. But I also understand, like, hey, let's not get to arbitration and then maybe we get 8 and that, and now all of a sudden the plans are really getting shook up there. I understand getting it out of the way. I think it's okay. It will be very, very frustrating to not have him out there, specifically against the Ravens, though, because that could be one of those games that costs you a shot at the one seed or gives you a chance to take week 18 off. So it's a big, big challenge for the offense without their focal point. Ultimately, I think it's fair. I don't know that it's perfect, but I think it's fair.
My another big reason, too, was for Jalen Royals. And again, we don't really know this condition because, you know, when Rice, if he was suspended through October or whatever, maybe Jalen Royals more up to speed because it took, you know, Xavier a few games to get acclimated. Maybe Jalen Royals, you know, give him, you know, through the month of September, you know, kind of learning from the other guys and be more ready to go with Rice being suspended. That was one of the only reasons for me. One of them.
No, that's a good one. I said that somewhere at some point when it looked like it was going to be arbitration, or the independent arbiter. I keep saying arbitration like we're talking about a baseball contract. I can't remember if that's the exact terms they use, but I'm with
Sue
you on
Robinson.
Royals. The Sue Robinson meeting. I was with you then, actually, too, where you go, well, you know, if he's out there for the first 4 weeks, then maybe that is 4 weeks that Jalen Royals can fully get up to speed and take on a little larger role. I agree with you. That to me was a silver lining of a later suspension, was asking for more from the rookie midway through the season. The other thing that's just crazy, and I don't really think it ended up mattering too much. Maybe it cost you Isapole, I don't know. But it's wild to me that the suspension came down like the day after the 53-man roster was all settled in. Would have probably been nice to have that before, but obviously the Chiefs knew what direction it was headed in, and the Tanyan bumping around at everything, you got back to the 53 they wanted, even though my 53 would have had Mike Pinnell on it. But I digress. We already talked about him.
Yeah, I did like some Mike Pinnell. But as far as the running back room, I know we talked about it there for a minute, but the thought was maybe they go out and try to make a trade, maybe go out to talk to Atlanta and say, hey, we'll take Algier from you. You have Bijan there as well. But they're going to go with this crew with Elijah Mitchell, Isaiah Pacheco, and Kareem Hunt. And Isaiah Pacheco did look really fresh. And he didn't exactly look as fresh when he came back from the injury last year. And that was to be expected. And Kareem Hunt kind of got those crucial carries for the Chiefs down the stretch. But as Tress Paylor used to tell me all the time, contract season's undefeated. And it's a big year for Isaiah Pacheco and income in the National Football League in the next contract going forward. He is a 4.37 speed guy, and they do have speed at running back because Elijah Mitchell is a 4.32 speed guy, so there's speed in the backfield. Then you have Breshard Davis. It's also, you know, a speed guy as well, so there is that speed element. Are we going to see the best of Isaiah Pacheco? Because I know the Chiefs are going to be running 12 and 13 personnel with tight ends, but can they alleviate some of this, you know, pressure not having Rice out there with the running game? Are you confident in the running back room?
I think the answer to will they, can they, yes. Am I confident? No, probably not. I really think Isaiah Pacheco this entire offseason to me has been one of my favorite guys to talk about, because I think we have seen public perception on him change so dramatically after not playing very much football in that time. Going back to the beginning of last season, I think there are a lot of Chiefs fans that were frustrated when he wasn't mentioned as like a top 10 running back in the league. And I never quite had him at that level. I've always thought that he has a real use in this offense. He's a terribly fun running back to watch. He's got a great attitude for a back. Like, it really, he checks a lot of the boxes you want in an NFL running back, a starting caliber one at that. But I've always kind of, you know, envisioned him more in the middle pack of kind of mid-tier starter caliber runners. Then he gets hurt. He's gone for a while, out of sight, out of mind. Kareem Hunt comes in and looks, his vision is good, his burst is not. And then Pacheco comes back freshly off a broken leg, and he doesn't look as explosive. And all of a sudden, it's like, man, I can't see them trusting Isaiah Pacheco to touch the football this year. It's like, whoa, what happened, everybody? Like, he went away, and our memories are just very, very short. And in a lot of cases, for running backs, that's earned, because things change in running back careers so dramatically, so quickly. But I think seeing what we've seen from Pacheco, a little bit at camp and then a little bit at the preseason games, just seeing that explosiveness and seeing his feet moving very, very cleanly, not quite as violently, which I mean is in a good way, in terms of a little more glide to him, I'm pretty optimistic about Pacheco, because I think my expectations for him are relatively well settled, kind of in the middle of the pack. Kareem Hunt, I think, has a very specific role. I think it's really interesting that Elijah Mitchell did make the 53, because I assume that if they were looking at other running backs, that was probably the guy they were a little bit underwhelmed with. Breshard Smith's spot was never really in danger to me. You know, I know he was a 7th-round draft pick, but it seems like they've got stuff they want him to do, even if it's not a significant number of running back carries early on. I think that's totally reasonable. Elijah Mitchell making, not just being in the organization still, but making the 53 makes me think that they think he's at least a capable third running back, not necessarily a third down pass protector. That's probably Kareem Hunt. The entire build of that running back room is interesting, because I think some of the skill sets that you want to see aren't necessarily there, or at least aren't proven for a guy like Breshard Smith. I understand that they'd want some more explosion, some more speed. A healthier Pacheco will look a little better there. Kareem Hunt, he got training camp in an offseason and everything, but I don't think we're going to see him exactly exploding out of the backfield. Elijah Mitchell didn't show a lot of that in camp at the preseason, but it's been a pretty small sample size. And then again, Breshard Smith's been playing running back for one year of his life. I mean, so I'm cool with the process there. The nitpicky thing is the running back room with the practice squad, where I think Carson Steele and Clyde Edwards-Helaire are both individually super reasonable guys to have on your practice squad. Clyde knows the offense, and he's been in it a lot, and Steele can do some things on special teams. He can be your fullback call-up and all of that. I would have been a little bit interested to see another guy closer to the Breshard Smith layout of a guy with some speed, maybe a little undersized and underexperienced, just to see if you can get somebody else comfortable in this offense. But maybe they've seen more from Elijah Mitchell than we have. And if that's the case, I think those four guys, and maybe it's Mitchell as a healthy scratch in week one. I have no idea, purely guessing there, but I think it's an okay room, and I think an okay room behind a pretty aggressive run-blocking offensive line with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, I think will be good enough.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Breshard Smith, to be honest with you. Excited to Me see too. Those wheel routes coming out the outside. That, you know, three-year receiver at Miami, Breshard Smith, can definitely go and do that. Josh, I look forward to talking with you next week. We'll talk a little college football. There's a little game in Columbia with Kansas and Missouri that I'm sure will be brought up.
I've heard a little bit about this game. I am aware of that. And I'll tell you, Bink, not to get too behind the scenes, but just before I hopped on with you guys, we were wrapping up a little Chiefs Radio Network meeting, and
yes,
you are officially on the books, my friend, and you're not going anywhere. I'm going to need you for, I think, about 6 good minutes of your best college football material, and I'll talk to you again, how about this, a week from today.
I will bring it to you next Friday, my friend. I look forward to it. Josh Briscoe, hear him on the Chiefs Radio Network, hear him every week on here as well. Thanks, Josh.
Appreciate it, Bing. Talk to you soon. Yeah,
Josh Briscoe right there. Well, we kind of blew through trash of the day a little bit. I don't really have any trash of the day. Do you have any, JT? The only thing I have is, well, I always complain about traffic, right? I always complain about drivers. I complain about roundabouts.
Oh, you do?
Because nobody understands those, and I've already done that. I think right now the thing that bothers me most is when people go up a highway, the acceleration ramps or deceleration, wherever they get up on a highway, they don't have the right of way. And they think they do.
Oh.
You have the right of way. If you're going straight, you have the right of way.
Yeah.
But somebody coming up, doesn't that drive you nuts? Or coming up on the highway, and they're right next to you. Yeah. It's like, okay, I can't get over. If I was going to be nice, I could get over. Mm-hmm. Even though I don't have to, because I have the right of way. And so the thing is, slow your butt down or speed up and get in front of me, but don't sit there and go side by side in my car. The person on the highway has the right of way from the person going up the ramp, and people forget that.
Yeah, my biggest pet peeve with driving is people that don't turn off their blinker. I hate when people don't turn off their blinker. Like, you get over in a lane and you just keep your blinker on. I'm like, are you getting over again, or what are we doing? Like, come on now, I need that blinker off. It's like, come on.
Yeah, it just drives you nuts. When you're on the highway, you have the right of way. If you're going straight, you got the right of way. They need to yield to you, and that's the way it should be. But I think people in this town forget that rule quite a bit. Thanks to Briscoe right there, giving Chiefs nuggets and information, plenty of good stuff. And I think the wide receiver room is something to talk about, clearly. But guess what? Chiefs Red Half Hour next, JT. I'm sure that'll come up in the Chiefs Red Half Hour. That's next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, JT Noah, Cody and Gold back on Tuesday. We are 1 week away. Yes, Chiefs Red Half Hour. Next Friday at this time, guess what? It's game day, right? It's game time.
People, this time next week, we'll be, what, 6.5 hours away?
Yeah, I know there's a few fans going to Brazil to watch the game. But yes, you'll be sitting here. It'll be game day. Do you have preparations what you're going to do for game day, JT? Because I know people already make the plans. It's like a holiday, right? You get the friends together, the family. You're grilling out. Obviously, not a lot of people will be going to the road game, being in Brazil. So, getting together, you're having a grill outside, you have people who are on the patio. What are you doing for Chiefs game day? I would ask the text line, but it's down.
It's down, right? Yeah. So, I actually just moved to my own apartment with the fiance. We're going back to the house, my parents' house, because we have a big man cave in the basement. Me and my brother, we watch the games down there.
Because you used to not watch with anybody, right? Because you'd get mad.
Yep. Now I watch with my brother in the man cave on a 85-inch TV. We got a huge man cave. It's awesome. And we'll probably have either
you
some
brought
pizza.
An 85-inch TV this year?
Nice work. Yeah, we got a big one.
Nice work, JT.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun. But I don't know food-wise. Usually we go pizza. We'll see. You never know. I like easy food to eat while watching the game.
Yeah, something easy. I'm like you, though. I never liked watching the games growing up with anybody. I didn't behave very well either, so I was kind of, punch-the-wall guy and stuff. I probably wasn't very nice to watch games with.
I've gotten
like
better. I've gotten
them in
better.
Bars either, because I like to hear the sound. You know, I like to.
Bars are the worst. I can't do bars. No.
I mean, for any other team, maybe, but not your favorite college team or pro team. You still don't do it. But people be excited about it. It's back. I mean, the Chiefs have become a fiber of this town, and what you do? You make plans around it. People's disposable income. Maybe they don't have a lake house anymore, whatever, because they spend it on season tickets. It's become a part of what everybody does. Hey, I did hear something from you yesterday. I didn't want to bring this up. You're getting married.
I am.
Do you have the wedding day yet?
Yeah, well, we're getting married in 2027.
But it's not in the fall, right?
No, no, no.
Okay.
We're doing it on our spring break.
You see, I didn't think you'd be like that.
Heck no. Heck no.
I've got a shirt ordered. It says being fall weddings. I actually have that on there. So you wouldn't do it. And that's great. But you, they were talking about, yesterday I heard Cody and Gold talking about where the wedding would be. Where the odds would be.
Oh, like for the Taylor and Travis? Taylor and Travis, yeah.
Like the betting odds. Would it be overseas? Would it be in the United States? You found out, though, on a cruise, you can't go, because I always thought the rule was, and it's been a long time since I did it, but I thought you had to do it in the United States to be legal, like to sign away legal. Because if you do it internationally, you still have to, what, go to the courthouse or whatever to make it official? Like, you can't make it official in another country.
Right, right, right.
It wouldn't be a problem with them. I'm sure that would be an easy thing to deal with. I just know that sometimes you have a waiting period, right? Some states, 48
yeah,
hours.
Yeah, there's a waiting period,
some periods,
right?
A week that you got to do it.
Right.
That's why I got married in Nevada, because Las Vegas, it was like, you can get it instantly. Just go for it, you know? You don't have to prove anything. You just do it.
Yeah, so it's been kind of hard, because I was like, oh, we could just get married. And then we were learning, oh, yeah, no, that's not how it works if you're doing it at the ocean. But she liked doing it on the cruise. Like, I told everyone, I said, I don't care where I get married. I could be on a mountain. I could be in the snow. I just want to marry her. So they were like, what about a cruise? I said, okay, I'll talk to my parents, and if that works, then we'll do it. So we're having a small wedding on the cruise ship. And even though, quote unquote, you're not, I guess, getting officially married on the cruise, we're using that date that the wedding is as our anniversary date.
Means you can back out of it.
Yeah.
It's not official.
Well, we're getting it official.
Well,
it's just
right. It's in the United States, it's not official.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I like you've been through this ring a little too many times.
No, I'm just saying, you know, unless it's in the United States, it's not official, but at least you're not doing it in the fall. There are a couple people here in the fall that are going to do it. I'm like, what are you doing? Because Chiefs games, like, you don't want to interfere with that. Like, you never want to interfere with Chiefs games. And people like their college games, too. They like to sit there and watch the college games. So they'll go to it, but they're going to sit there and on their phones and look at scores. Or they're going to go in the bar and have their phone. Everybody's going to be around them watching the game. That's just the way it works. But the Chiefs in action next Friday night, I'm sure, pinch yourself. It's here. I mean, I know the Chiefs keep going to the Super Bowl. You carry the season through February. But people love to get together. I'm not sure, is that the way it is with your family and friends, where the people do gather for holidays, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, that kind of type of thing, 4th of July. They get together, but they get together for Chiefs games, too. Because I can see that a lot in this town, where people do gather for Chiefs games. And I expect Friday night to be insane.
My family does not get together for Chiefs games, because my parents are not big sports fans. So,
yeah, not even Chiefs?
They'll watch the Chiefs game, but it's not like, oh, hey, the Chiefs game's on. They're not going to, like, build their schedule around it. Like, oh, hey, we have time. We'll watch the Chiefs game. It's actually, funny enough, they won't even be... Well, they will be back. Never mind. I was about to say, they're in Tennessee right now, but they'll be back for the Chiefs game. But they're going to my dad and my youngest brother, who just turned 21 on the 3 days ago. They're going up to Wisconsin for a duck show.
That's perfect. Do what you want to do. But the bottom line is, you know, even casual sports fans, I've noticed, do watch the Chiefs. Even people that didn't like them before, they like them now. Like, they'll make sure they're in front of a TV for Chiefs games. And that's what happens when you keep winning, that the Chiefs have become a fiber of what they do. Whether huge fans of the NFL or not, a lot of times they're not, but they are fans of the Kansas City Chiefs. So they'll get in front of the TV for the Chiefs or the Royals. Whenever the Royals are on their run, like in 14 and 15, people found a way to do it. But people find a way to do it with the Chiefs. The wide receiver room is interesting. I talked to Briscoe about that just a little bit. You know, on paper, when you're in OTA and minicamp and you start in training camp, it looks great, right? But the game's not played on paper, because the Chiefs were a total different team in St. Joe last year than what they ended up with in the regular season, right? I mean, it was down the field to Hollywood Brown, hitting Xavier Worthy deep, hitting Rashee Rice, and then things changed. Like, the Chiefs planned, that's why I give Andy Reid a lot of credit for last season. I mean, it really was. I mean, even Mahomes, too. personally, I think it might have been Andy Reid's best year, even though he didn't win at all. But he went into the season, won 15 games, and made it to the Super Bowl without his one, without his two. For most, he didn't have Hollywood Brown. He's hurt in the first preseason game. Rashee Rice got hurt in game four. He was on to having a great year. And so you have to kind of change who and what you are. The Chiefs didn't throw the ball downfield much. Matter of fact, they were 31st in the NFL with air yards, 25 yards or more. But they had to change what they did. I give them full credit for doing that, because the NFL making complete changes who and what you are is hard to do. Now, the defense stays consistent. Spags says that defense up and rolling, you can count on them. And they did, because they were 15th in points per game the last 2 years. They were 1-4 the two previous years of that as far as points per game. But you can't have the same offense. And that's why when I think you look at Mahomes and you see all the, you know, the national media talking about Mahomes, did he regress? Because you look at the stats. Well, tell me what other quarterbacks would have done the same thing with less. You take the 1-2 off of these other teams. Oh, and then you take their leading running back out in game two in Pacheco. So take away a team's leading rusher and take away their top two receivers and talk about a tight end that now you're relying on that's now, which at that point, Kelsey was 34 years old. You put all these equations.
And then you still have a tackle problem. You have a left tackle problem.
And you have the tackle problem. You have the offensive line issues. And you still win 15 games and get the Super Bowl. I get it. There's a lot of close games. But the bottom line is, JT, they were winning them. And good teams find a way to win those. Bad teams find a way to lose them. For years, you know, growing up, you watch them, the Raiders. And the Raiders would have good teams. And I know recently they haven't. But for a while, the Raiders were good. But they'd always find a way at the end of the game to lose the game. They would Raider it. Whether it's a fumble, a penalty, and they still found a way to Raider it with the snap in last year, what happened. But they find a way to do it. Good teams find a way to win. But they had to change who and what they were offensively last year. And I think to some extent they've kind of had to do the same thing this year. Even though they knew going forward Rashee Rice was going to get the suspension, what was going to happen was still the unknown, because it was set to be with Sue Robinson on September 30th. The NFL, if you look at the reports, 8-10 games, what they wanted, but then they came down to 6, and the Chiefs were like, okay, and Rice's camp and the NFLPA is like, okay, we'll do the 6. I think it might have been brought down a little bit had he fought it, to be honest with you. Sue Robinson was interesting because the only other case she's seen was Deshaun Watson's, and she only gave him 6 games for all that stuff. 6. But the NFL can appeal it. Just like the player can, the NFL can appeal the judge's decision. And they did appeal it, and he ended up getting an 11 games. So were you going to get a angry Sue Robinson that was, hey, I'm gonna stick it to him? I didn't stick it to Deshaun Watson. I get my other chance here, my second case in the NFL. I'm going to stick it to him. There's that. Or do you think, okay, she's leaning in anyway. She was leaning with Deshaun Watson. She'd be leaning on Rice. But then would the NFL step in and want to reappeal it? So that was always the decisions they had to make. I would have waited till later just to get Jalen Royals up to speed whenever Rice had to be out. And I think it's imperative that these first 6 games get off to a good start. I get it. Mahomes is great in September. He's 83% winning percentage. He's good. This team's good in September. It's what they do. But you start taking these weapons away, you have to be a lot more creative. That's what Andy Reid gets paid the big bucks for. That's why he's a winner. He's got to go back to the drawing board, Matt Nagy, with this offense, Mahomes, because it is going to be different without Rashee Rice. And we'll wait and see if Hollywood Brown's actually 100% or not. I mean, it's looking more and more like he will be. But again, there's been that injury concerns, missing 24 games since 2022. That does come up. And then Jalen Royals, you're not 100% sure where he's at. He's got the knee tendonitis issue going on now. You know, depending on what reports you hear, looked like it might have been IR to begin the season, 4 games on the designated to return list. That hasn't been done yet, so that's a good sign that hasn't been done yet. But it is a different looking group than what you had throughout minicamp.
Yeah, and I would actually, I'm okay with him being suspended now. I know it's not the popular choice, but
I mean, every game in the NFL is tough.
Right.
I mean, despite if you think they suck or not.
I know we've had issues a couple years ago, especially we lost to Lions on opening night, but I feel like having the preparation to be without Rice right now is better than trying to prepare for it with when you're like, oh, wait, he's now being suspended after the week 6 game. So I think getting him suspended now, you can prepare for what's going to be with him without him for the first 6 games instead of having him and then, oh, wait, we don't have him. So now we got to throw it out the door and figure out what we're going to do without him in the middle of the season.
There's 2 things I always kind of wish to see, but we haven't exactly seen it. And that's the one dart at wide receivers that they've been doing, like the one dart at Sky Moore that didn't pan out, right? Rashee Rice did. Like Rashee Rice did pan out. Like you take that one dart and you throw it, and that's what they've been doing at wide receiver. Xavier Worthy, that's been a good dart throw. This year it was Jalen Royals. That was the dart throw. I always kind of wanted them to get two receivers, throw two darts at wide receivers in the draft. But not only that, I brought up to Josh. Cody and Gold called me the other day because I kept saying, hey, man, should have got Keenan. Like, I'm still in the – I know he's 33 years old, JT, but he did have 770 last year and 70 catches, seven touchdowns, and he's great in the slot. And his generation can't find anybody really better in a slot than what Keenan Allen's been. And it wasn't for the whole year. Hey, be a veteran that's been in the NFL, that understands the offense, been a pro's pro, a multi-pro bowler like him, just to come in and be there with Rice so you're not concerned and worried about your wide receiver room. I think you feel a lot more confident if he's here. And I get it, Juju's here. But honestly, who would you rather have, Juju right now or Keenan Allen?
I would say Juju just because he's been in the system for the last 2 years. I think there is a lot that you could say about Keenan Allen that's good, but also that he has been injured.
No, he has been, but he did have 70 catches last year. I get it, but again, you're not needing him for the whole year. He'd be like, hey, be the dude when Rice is gone. But neither here nor there, that's not going to happen.
You think he would be a better, like, 1A wide receiver than Juju would be a 1A?
I think, yes, I do, but I think it would have been fine to have a veteran guy like that with Rice being suspended like this for 6 weeks. Yeah, I would like to have Keenan Allen. Not only that, but you keep him away from being with the Chargers. Because okay, we know what he does against the Chiefs. So it's twofold with him. But regardless, I would still would have thrown two darts at wide receiver in the NFL draft.
Okay. I understand that.
I mean, I would have done it. They've been able to not really throw a bunch of darts at tight end. I mean, yeah, last year in the fourth round, Jared Wiley and stuff like that, because of Kelsey coming back. And I do think that helps him a lot, him coming back this year. You don't have to throw another dart at a tight end position in the draft. Like, I think they will next year. I think they'll go back to the drawing board, and I think they're going to go back at running back as well. I think their running back will be a lot higher than the seventh round for the Chiefs next year. If Pacheco, you know, hits the road for free agency, I could see the Chiefs getting a running back a lot earlier in the draft, you know, third round, fourth round type of guy, instead of waiting for the seventh round like they did Burchard, because you got to replace that production. And you can always grab somebody from the draft to be your running back. Well, they CBS, they ranked contenders by the quarterback coach combination. And I always like quarterback coach combinations because I think it's really one of the most important things that come with the quarterback. It's kind of like what I was talking with Kimmy too about the quarterbacks having that intangible, being humble, being a dude that people like. Like Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid last year were number one on the list. So I was curious where they would have them now, because the quarterback coach combination is so important. It's like you look at this division, and I love the coach quarterback combinations. I mean, it's solid. There's not a better division in football with coach quarterback combination than this one. And I know Pete Carroll's defensive-minded, former defensive guy. I get that. Bill Belichick was a defensive guy, too, but he worked well with Brady. But I think having Geno back with Pete Carroll, that's an upgrade in the division. Definitely Sean Payton with Bo Nix, that's a nice combination. And I think Justin Herbert with Jim Harbaugh is a nice combination, but there's no better, thankfully, combination than what Andy Reid is with Patrick Mahomes. And that was number one with the bullet for two straight years with the Kansas City Chiefs, and as far as the NFL, as far as best combination is with Mahomes and Andy Reid. And that makes a ton of sense because, you know, that connection they have, I mean, you need that with the coach and quarterback where they're on the same page. Because I do think eventually Mahomes, when you get in the two-minute drill towards the end, he kind of does it anyway, but I think more and more it's turned over to him. Just like Peyton Manning used to call his own plays and stuff like that, and Phillip Rivers did, you know, a lot of times and in crunch time, because I think eventually, you know, Mahomes seen it, done it enough, because it makes it so much quicker and faster when he's seeing the defense and he can run what he wants to run. And hopefully we get to that point, because Mahomes is like an offensive coordinator on the field.
Yeah, that's why I thought Tom Brady was so good at those drills when it came to the 2 minute or the up tempo. They just said, hey, go do your thing. You're the Ferrari and do this. And that's why I thought Tom Brady was so good at what he does. That's why Patrick Mahomes is so good at the 2 minute drill, the no huddle, all that. So when you have a quarterback that can do that, it makes it so much more wide open to, I would say, the horizon. I think that's why Seattle had such a hard time at times when it was Russell Wilson with Pete Carroll because Pete Carroll didn't want to just hand over the keys to Russ. And it showed, and that's why they traded him.
Yeah, you definitely have to have that, you know, the connection where, you know, Andy Reid's thinking of plays at 3 or 4 in the morning. He can't wait to tell Mahomes the next day about it. But, you know, I think when they did draft Mahomes, it rejuvenated Andy Reid. It just did because, yeah, he did great things with Alex Smith, and he got the most out of Alex Smith that he could possibly get, you know, from Alex, like Harbaugh did in San Francisco. But Mahomes gave him a quarterback that could do all the throws. He could do everything that he wanted to do. He no play was off limits when you have a quarterback like that. It was a pelt on the wall for Andy Reid having Patrick Mahomes. And I think, I don't know, it just seems like he's been rejuvenated in what he does as a coach because that was going to be the end-all be-all. Andy Reid gets a quarterback in the first round, see what you do with him. Like, his career was going to be defined, even though he went to Super Bowl Philadelphia, even though he went to 5 NFC title games. To be honest with you, he's honestly, like 48% of the years he's coached, he's been in the title game. Do you know that? Just right at about 50%, he's been in the title game. Wow. Like, no other coach can say that.
That's crazy.
Whether in Philadelphia or Kansas City, he's ended up in the title game. The 7 straight with Kansas City, went to 5 in Philadelphia. It's 12. It's 12 seasons he's been in the AFC or NFC title game. That's insanity that he's been that good and that consistent for so long. And it's also insanity he's got one coach of the year. That's it. But you got to have that connection. I always thought Mahomes, when he was drafted, that was the pelt on the wall. What he does with Patrick Mahomes going forward will define his career. Like, as good a coach as he's been, what are you going to do with Patrick Mahomes? Because the sky was the limit. The Chiefs were going first-round quarterback when they went with Mahomes, and there was other choices. You know, clearly Deshaun Watson was out there. You know, a guy the Chiefs had talked to and everything, and clearly that would have been a major mistake had they gone that direction. That would have changed the complexion of this town completely, how you view the Chiefs, the success, if they would have drafted Deshaun Watson instead of Mahomes. But they had their choice, and that, to me, rejuvenated Andy Reid, and you got that connection, you know, back from the Bill Walsh tree, you know, the Bill Walsh Montana connection that he had, you know, drawing plays on napkins at restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, that his quarterback could run.
That works. I mean, I felt like it gave Andy Reid another, like, hey, this is my quarterback, my, like, robot. Let me go show you what I can do with it. And it's worked out so well for not only Andy Reid, not only Patrick Mahomes, but also the city of Kansas City.
I just think we'll look back at that connection. I mean, I think that's a movie in waiting for this outside of the kingdom going forward. You know, that year with Alex Smith at quarterback and redshirt and Mahomes, kind of, even though he was doing nasty things to the defense on the practice field. You know, that year he was sitting behind Alex Smith. It was the perfect storm with the quarterback willing to take his humility and let the rookie do it, show the rookie basically how to take his job, that will take his job and did take his job. But that was like the perfect storm the Chiefs had in that year of development with him, and then just boom, 7 straight AFC title games. 9 straight divisions that goes predates even Mahomes back to Alex Smith when you think about the 9 straight division titles. 2 away, the Chiefs sit from the Patriots. Patriots had the NFL record with 11 straight division titles. The Chiefs right there. And again, I think it's tougher now. I think this division is tougher. I think last year was the best run of the Chiefs getting to the Super Bowl, Andy Reid, because you had 3 teams from the division actually make the playoffs. They're, you know, wasn't the Denver Broncos, you know, sucking and the Raiders sucking again. No, the Chargers and Broncos actually made the postseason. And you do play them 2 times apiece. So, in reality, I think it might have been Andy Reid's best year coaching, to be honest with you, because of the success of other teams in the division. And this year's going to be no joke, too. I would not be shocked if both the Chargers and the Broncos make the postseason again this year. Like, I would not be surprised by it. And the Raiders aren't going to be as bad as they were. I don't think the Raiders are a playoff team, but they're definitely not as bad as they've been in the past. They have arguably the best tight end in football in Brock Bowers. You got a guy in Geno Smith that's extremely accurate with the football, led the NFL in completion percentage a couple of years ago. Yeah, they'll be better. They'll be an 8 or 9 win team. But this division, top to bottom, a better division. Anyway, coming up next, though, look at what's trending around sports in Kansas City.